I saw a blue bird.
A blue bird? That's great.
It was in right next to the hummingbird feed on the shed roof.
Oh, cool. Hey everyone, welcome to PDX Food Stories. I'm your host, Mary Crow, and today on the podcast, we are talking about strawberries. They are in season here in Portland, hallmarking the kickoff to summer. And we'll be talking about different ways to preserve and cook with, and of course, how chefs in Portland are using strawberries on their menu. Also, fun note, Sarah and Dirk and my child are outside playing. I can hear them now. We'll see if if our listening audience can hear their giggles. Are they eating strawberry popsicles?
They are. They're eating strawberry popsicles and then cherries and the first apricots from the market.
You're so good. I love that you really pulled the theme together with the strawberry popsicles.
I made sure I had them last night.
So, strawberries. I read some really interesting things about strawberries.
Well, my favorite thing was your picture that you sent me when you tried to do Instagram research, which I love because it really was perfect.
I love Instagram for the visual research, and like anytime I'm traveling or I get an ingredient that I want to learn how to cook with more, I'll just search it on Instagram to see how people are using it. I mean, really similar to Google image search, but then I have to go to my computer. Why not just use my phone? So last night I'm looking up strawberries and I'm like, how are people using strawberries? And I'm coming across like jams, desserts, ice creams. And then from somewhere in Eastern Europe, there's this beefcake.
Yes.
And like the perfect sense of the word. I mean, his muscles look
a very shiny
fake
man.
They like bulbous half circles coming out of his shoulders and his arms. And he's just standing in a field of strawberries with like a 3-pack of strawberry pints in perfect like wooden little pint holders. Mm-hmm. And just a smile. It's like a romance novel cover for people who love strawberries.
Yes.
And we talk about food issues, so I'm going to talk about my strawberry issue.
Yeah.
Is that when they come into season, I am not quite ready for them because it's still cold.
Yeah.
And gloomy. And then you've got these like sweet tart bombs. And I guess like it's spring and the tartness is supposed to bring you out of like the winter slumber, but I am still looking for comfort food in March. And it takes me like until like the end of May to really be ready to embrace a hood.
Yeah, I think also like when the strawberries first come to the market, we as vendors see it go from nobody being anywhere, everybody just has lettuce. And then all of a sudden,
and Rob,
we see people lining up and we're like, okay, it's either asparagus or strawberries because they're both like kind of the first things that bring people to the market. And then you just see lines. And I think that those beginning berries aren't even really good yet. They're not.
Right.
They're not like
right.
It's still wet. So the berry, you know, one of the things I learned from my berry farmers is that if it rains, the strawberries don't taste like anything the next day because they just soak up all that water.
Right.
If it's really sunny, they soak up all that sun and they taste really sweet and good. But I think people are just so excited about it that they're like, I have to get those first strawberries.
And they're always walking away with like flats.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
What's
everybody
doing
with all those strawberries?
You gotta can them, right? And add sugar?
Well, that's what I would think. Like these people are either making baked goods or canning. Mm-hmm. But hoods are generally the first to come into season. They are super sweet. And if you've never had one, you cut them in half and they are red, like completely red inside and out. They are very watery and they completely disintegrate and they are the worst strawberry for doing anything with other than
that's
just
gonna look
eating.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Like I shouldn't say hate them. I love them for eating out of hand or chopping up and throwing in oatmeal or anything where it's fresh, but you try to can that and it's mush.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Even when you want mush, it's like too mushy.
Yeah.
No snap, no bite. You gotta wait for later in the season.
Later strawberries.
So one thing that I thought was fascinating that, I mean, we know California produce is everywhere. And, of course, that's what you see in the grocery store. Driscoll strawberries from California. They're huge. They're big. They travel well. They're flavorless for the most part, and you know, they're firm. But in Oregon, only 20% of our strawberries actually make it to market. Everything else is processed for yogurt, ice cream, frozen berries. Whoa. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, it is.
Especially
but I'm not
when
surprised.
Our strawberries are so good. I know, yeah. I'm not surprised either, because our growing season is so short.
Yeah.
It's really short. But I bought my first half flat yesterday.
I saw that. I saw a picture of you and your family.
I want to make your strawberry cucumber jam.
Freezer jam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a really interesting flavor profile.
Yeah.
Because it's not, this is not biscuit jam. This is not jam for your oatmeal. It's not, it's jammy in its consistency, but the refreshing, like the cucumber refreshingness and like the refreshingness, that's a word,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
It's so, I don't know. I'm excited to play with it because I think it could be a lot of fun.
It's a fun one. So that, to me, when I taste that jam, it tastes like a watermelon Jolly Rancher, which is really strange because it has like the strawberry aspects, the cooling of the cucumber. So that's what it tastes like. And then I add the Thai chilies in just because like I like a little bit of heat in things.
Right.
But how that jam came about was really because strawberries and cucumbers a lot of times are growing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to make that when I worked at group homes because it was a good way to get like vegetables and fruits into kids.
Wow.
Their breakfast.
Yeah. Wow. In their breakfast, really? Mm-hmm. So like smear it on toast?
Yeah, toast and things. They'd put it into oatmeal even.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I kept, the first time I had it, I thought like rice noodles, like Vietnamese flavors, like, yeah, just crisp, cool, refreshing.
Yeah.
So I might be making that. I did try from Preserving Italy. There is a recipe for strawberry cream liqueur.
Yeah. Did you make it?
I did make it, and I decided to make it with coconut milk to be a little gentler on my little sensitive tummy. And I forgot that when coconut milk is cold, it hardens, so keeping this mixture in the freezer did not work. We tried. We brought it out for a little bit and, like poked through the bottle, the top with, like, a chopstick to, like, get this plug of coconut, like, frozen coconut fat. And then, I'm like, well, let's just wait and let it warm up a little bit and pour little shot glasses. Matthew couldn't even get through it because there were just, like, little particles of solidified fat. And it was also, I used Everclear because she says you can use Everclear or vodka. And sure. Everclear really is the prominent flavor profile in the strawberry. So I'd like to try it again, maybe with a processed nut or coconut milk that has stabilizers in it so you don't have to use coconut milk.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What about rice milk?
Rice milk is so thin,
yeah.
I feel like. But so we've got, you know, preservation opportunities, mm-hmm. freezing, obviously. We've talked about that before, cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, I would suggest if you're going to freeze them, I would do the same thing we talked about before. Freeze them on a sheet tray and then go ahead and bag them up. And then they'll stay nice and whole. So we do that for smoothies.
So do you recommend freezing them whole or halves, mm-hmm. like if they're big mamma jammas?
Well, it depends on what you're going to do with them. But
right.
I think if they're whole, then you have like the option of
right.
doing other things. Because even in like a smoothie, they'll still like blend up or whatever
right.
to make popsicles like I did today.
Oh, right.
I just do them whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So freezing, then we've got our jams and our jellies and our preserves.
Jams
which I'm
and jellies.
Ask you
so
to
I think,
like give us a quick lesson. Jams,
sure.
jellies, preserves.
Yeah. So freezer jams is kind of the easiest jam to do. So that just means that you're smashing up fruit with sugar and pectin, and you don't actually have to cook it if you do a non-cook freezer jam. And so that's really easy to do with kids. It's a fun way to do that. For jams, you're cooking down fruit and sugar. You don't have to use pectin in the strawberry jam, but you can use like a little lemon is nice, but I like to keep those jams pretty simple. And then you can do like a chutney, which
mm-hmm.
I have a recipe in the cookbook for a strawberry balsamic chutney, and so that has like tamarind and onions, and so it's more savory than
mm-hmm.
a regular jam, which I think gives you a whole different application, you know, to use
right.
them in. So I'll use them into like cook a little bit into stir fries
mm-hmm.
or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more like tangy,
yeah.
less sweet. And then
preserves.
So there's a lot of different things that you can do where so that's more where the fruit is kept whole.
Right.
And usually you're doing more of a syrup, and then it's in there. And I think that's good. It's a very, like, French technique mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to do it.
Right.
And if you want to do, like, a low-sugar jam, a preserve route is usually the way to go. And you can use honey. It'll just be a lot darker. Just keep that in mind.
What about dehydrating? Do you hydrate strawberries? My mom used to, and then she would put them in our oatmeal so we wouldn't buy the Quaker strawberries and cream oh, yeah. instant oatmeal packs, which I loved.
Yeah, it's
and
not
that
the
was
same.
Her like, no, it's not the same. There's a lot of sugar is missing from that when mm-hmm. you do it yourself. But
yeah. I mean, I think it takes a lot of strawberries.
Right.
If you're growing them yourself, I think it's a good thing to do. But I think, you know, like economically, to buy a flat of strawberries and then dry them,
yeah.
you're probably better off buying the like freeze-dried ones at Trader Joe's
right.
because they're less expensive. There's nothing in them, you know.
The freeze-dried ones I loved. Where did we go for brunch when we tried to go?
Lemoore.
Thank you twice, mm-hmm. and finally ended up there on the right day. And they take those freeze-dried strawberries, yeah. turn them into a powder, and sprinkle them over the French toast. No, oatmeal. That's what I had.
Oatmeal.
It was so good. It was so, so good.
They also do a cocktail where they sprinkle that over a giant square ice cube that's in your drink. So when you get the aroma
the
of it, when you're taking
powder.
The drinks of it, and little bits of it slowly mix into the cocktail, it's uh-huh. pretty amazing.
And so since strawberries are super highly perishable, right? Like you need to eat them immediately or use them immediately. A really interesting preservation technique I saw for them, which actually didn't preserve it for very long, only about a week, but was to make a compound butter with them.
Yeah.
So strawberries, maple syrup, salt, butter, and then use that on your pancakes and French toast. I
oh,
thought that was really
idea.
Cute, but it only said it lasted for a week.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Right.
I would guess it's something about the water content of the strawberries into the butter.
Well.
Yeah.
Right.
Can grow mold pretty easily.
But like
easily.
You could freeze it, right?
Yeah,
I would think so.
A lot of compound butters, people.
That's right. Freeze them. So, we got into this, like, with apples and pears. Like, none of us here are bakers. Like, sometimes baking works for us. Sometimes it doesn't.
Mostly not. Mm.
But lots of... yeah, me too. Mostly not, for sure. A lot of strawberry recipes I came across were, you know, like, strawberry shortcakes, which strawberries aren't baked in, but strawberry muffins, strawberry pan dowdy. I mean, all these, like, baking things that we don't really do. But yeah. one of my favorite recipes I ran across was a roasted strawberry tahini milkshake.
Whoa.
That I found on Bon Appetit. I didn't have tahini. I ran out, so I used ground up coconut and almond butter instead and roasted the strawberries first, and it was really good. Frozen banana and just some nut milk, and it was delicious.
Hmm. Sounds good.
It
Sounds
was.
Interesting.
It was super good.
I can't really wrap my brain around what it would taste like.
Well, this one pretty much just like roasted strawberry peanut butter shake.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Peanut
yeah.
butter and
but
jelly.
But I think the tahini adds like a more bitter quality mm-hmm. to the
yeah.
shake.
What's your take on fruit salsa?
You know, I don't love it.
I don't either.
But,
like a strawberry salsa.
Yeah.
Or a pineapple
but
salsa.
Mango.
Well, the strawberry one since
yeah.
we're talking about
strawberries. Mango salsa, I feel like I'd love it on fit. I mean, it's just one of those. It's because to me, it's not even like it's not. I guess it's a salsa. It's a sauce, but I don't know. I'm not. Yeah, I had strawberry salsa down as, you know, recipes that I ran across. I've never made it.
It's too sweet, I think.
It's too
like,
sweet.
When you're talking about mango and things,
right.
like I'm used to seeing that with like chili or salt or
right.
something
well,
to
and
go
I think
with it. But with strawberries, if you put spices to
I
like,
think it's the texture of the
powder.
Strawberry too, like it turns
yeah.
mushy. So
right.
it's like
so you'd need to use a firmer.
The acid breaks it down.
Yeah.
You know? So if
right.
you're wanting something like that, like with the strawberry flavor, I would suggest doing like a hot sauce. So you're blending it up all the way
right.
because the body of the strawberry just turns into
oh,
like a really
unappealing
right? texture.
Yeah. I feel like I just don't really use strawberries in any other way unless I'm using them fresh, chopped in oatmeal, or eating them fresh, or I'm preserving them.
Yeah.
But I did run across a bunch of recipes that I thought looked fun that are rooted in Italian cuisine, which, as you know, I'm trying to become Italian by making Italian food and eating it.
Love it. It's going to work.
It's totally going to work. Next time you see me, my hair is going to be jet black and I'm going to have big, full eyebrows. I'm going to look like Sophia Loren. It's strawberries and wine as kind of like a dessert.
Yeah.
So So maybe later this summer, maybe next time you guys come over.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen him in sangria.
Yep, sure. Yeah.
I don't love him in sangria. I'd much rather have a firm pear or an apple slice that's been... what does Jose do where he like vacuum seals them in brandy?
Yeah, he like compresses fruit in alcohol and so it just sucks it all up.
So strawberry hot sauce, a major hot sauce, and I chickened out. We talked about this. Here's a tip. Learned the hard way. Just use the amount of peppers and seeds called for.
Yeah.
Don't chicken out.
Well, I think otherwise you're proving a really nice point, which is that when people write cookbooks, they test a lot of different options and not everything turns out. So like with your coconut milk, she might have even tested it that way and just realized that it doesn't work. You know, I did a lot of versions of that hot sauce and I made one that was just like kind of spicy, but not overwhelming. Not, you know, you try to do something that's going to appeal to the masses. Right. So... I mean, you know.
So it's a strawberry red jalapeno hot sauce.
Yes. So that recipe came from a sauce that we do for the farmer's market, but we use ghost chilies. So it's for our customers that want much hotter sauce.
Right.
But the thing with canning recipes is that if you see peppers in a recipe, you can, because they have the same pH level, you can swap out other peppers. So like if you just have a basic guide, you can always sub in those ghost chilies for those jalapenos. You just do it by weight. So you can make it spicier if you want.
No.
Make it not so spicy. You went for the mild side.
I could not find red jalapenos, so I used red Fresnos. Mm-hmm. And then as I was cutting them up, I thought, this is a lot of seeds and veins. I'm going to take half of it out.
Yeah.
And it tasted really spicy when I was cooking it. And then after, because I had a little bit left over that I didn't have enough for a full jar, so just... chucked it in the fridge, and then the next day used it on like sweet potatoes, and it was not spicy at all. But what I thought was really interesting is I could totally taste the flavor of the Fresno chili.
Yeah.
So now I tell everyone it's a strawberry and essence of chili sauce.
Perfect.
Super, super light.
Yeah.
One thing I'm curious about, because I did this last year, I made strawberry jam, and I feel like strawberry jam, it's too lemony, because you have to add acid, right? You have to add pectin, because strawberries are low in both of these.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you make strawberry jam taste like strawberry jam and not lemon juice? Do you have this problem? Maybe it was just me.
Well, so technically... There's a few answers for that. So you don't have to have lemon in strawberry jam if you're doing like a high sugar content jam.
Right.
Because the water activity is what's keeping the bacteria from not growing in there. So it's not about the acid at all. So you can do just strawberries and sugar, but find a recipe that, you know, has the right ratios.
Right.
But you don't, the lemon really is more just because people like that balance.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I didn't like it. I thought, like, I'm going to make my kid's strawberry jam for her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and it's not a family favorite.
Yeah. I mean, there's some combos and things that just don't, I don't know, like for instance, our daughter loves strawberry. But if you mess with the other things that are going on in a dish, she doesn't go for it. We took her to a well-known ice cream place that thinks outside the box in its flavor combinations. And we brought our daughter up, and the lady was very nice to be like, here's a sample.
Right.
And she held the spoon out, and our daughter took the ice cream off the spoon and then sat there for a second and then spit it right back onto the spoon. Much to the lady's horror, who has never seen that response.
What?
And we were like, I'm sorry, but she just wanted
strawberries.
And we took her to somewhere else. They didn't have it because it wasn't seasonal.
Right.
And so we were like, I don't know. And we ended up, I think, at like Dairy Queen was someplace where they just pump the compote onto the soft serve. And she was like, this is what I wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I get it. Like,
I think that's kind of the thing with strawberries. Like, I think when I really like them best, it's when it's just a super clean application. Like, either it's a fresh strawberry, it's a freezer jam. So that if they're not cooked, like they're still just smashed with sugar.
Right.
They still have that regular strawberry, you know, feel. I also wanted to talk a little bit about a tip that I have for not wasting anything. So a lot of times when people cut the tops of the strawberries off, they just compost them, which is fine. But there's kind of this thing with that strawberry leaves and tops are harmful if you eat them. And there's a time and a place for why that's true. And that's that a lot of farms will spray plants before the berries are blooming. And so then the berries don't have any pesticides on them, but the leaves do. And so so that's why it was suggested to cut the tops off. If you're buying from an all-organic farmer, you're growing them yourselves, you can eat those leaves because there's no spray on them. You know, of course, just wash them. But my tip is to cut the tops off and then make a salad dressing with them. So you blend it up so it gives it like this nice little tiny bit of sweetness from the strawberries, a little bit of green from the leaves.
So you're talking about the whole, because I'm super lazy and I will lob off the top.
Yeah, right.
And so I get like a quarter size worth of berry and then I have the little piece off, or the leaves, right?
Yeah, so you just throw that in. You know, I do it like as I'm, you know, prepping my strawberries, I'll just throw it in a mason jar and then I'll just use a little immersion blender and make a salad dressing and keep it in the fridge.
Yeah. Wow. I saw that in your cookbook.
Yeah. It's pretty fun and a nice tip.
It's from your grandma.
Yeah.
That would do that?
Am I making that up?
No.
I'm combining recipes.
No. I think I just was like, what can I do with these?
Not grandma's secret tip.
No.
Back to your point, though, about flavor combos. Yeah. I feel like strawberries, they get paired with some pretty intense flavors that then take over, like strawberry and almond or strawberry and balsamic and strawberry and black pepper. And then you've just, like, lost the strawberry almost altogether. But again, that goes back to, like, what kind of strawberry you're using. If you're using, like, a Hood that's super sweet, that might be coming in. But if you're using something like a Seascape, which I feel like seascapes have a longer growing season, so they're more prevalent at the farmer's market, and I feel like they taste really inconsistent within a pint. Like, you can get one that's sweet and one that's sour, and so I think I don't know, flavoring's hard, so I agree with you. My preference is just to eat them straight or have, like, a clean strawberry jam.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of reason to fuss.
There's one buddy that gets paired with the strawberry a lot, and so I'm interested on your takes on this one. Strawberries and basil.
Good combo.
Yeah. It's classic.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
I think it is, because I think it's when the good strawberries are ready is when basil is ready at the market. It's like the same timing.
Yeah.
Do you not like them together?
Well, so in my prep for today, I was reading through a bunch of recipes, and folks are like, strawberries and tomatoes, interchangeable. Strawberry caprese salad with basil. Like, strawberry salsa with jalapeno. And I'm just like, I don't see the need for it.
Yeah.
But I know in the cookbook, The Picnic, which friends of ours, acquaintances of ours, came out with a couple years ago now, they have a recipe for, I think it's a strawberry shortcake that has a basil syrup on it, and that
sounds good.
That to me sounds good, but again, I just think you have to be really careful. Like we just said, like, some of those flavors are so powerful that they overtake the strawberry.
Yeah.
I like the idea of like almost soaking the shortcake in that basil syrup. So it's, I don't know.
That sounds good.
Like a rum cake?
Kind of. How do you guys feel about strawberry shortcake overall?
I never eat it.
No. But I mean, also, I didn't eat strawberries really until we had a daughter, and then there was berries around, and then I was like, oh yeah,
really?
Yeah, I just didn't eat strawberries. I don't know. I don't eat a lot of fruit, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of like. I think it's because we don't eat a lot of fruit. We like it like in the savory application. Mm-hmm. So we'll do like sliced strawberries with basil, or like sliced watermelon with mint. Like that makes it more palatable to us, I think. And then I put chilies on it.
Yeah.
Of course. I'll have to go back and play with strawberries and basil. I don't know. It never appealed to me.
Thank you.
All right, so Dirk, how are chefs, now that we're in full swing of strawberry season, which actually, before we get there, at the market this weekend, I felt like, I wasn't seeing as many. Not as many people had strawberries. There were only a few stands.
You were late.
Yeah, they were there.
I was late.
Everybody had them. But then they were gone within an hour.
So we've still got a few more weeks of flats and flats.
There was lines
and some
where, like,
berries
30 people
really
deep.
Do go through the rest of the season.
Yeah,
just the hoods are probably gone. You're not getting hoods anymore. All right. Yeah. I got there way too late. yes. How are chefs using? How are we seeing them on the menu now that?
So there's a couple. One of them, you won't be shocked that I'm mentioning it, but I have to mention it because it's so, I think, fun. Aaron Barnett, the chef at St. Jack and Lemoule, they have a giant strawberry profiterole the size of an actual hamburger with chantilly and strawberry custard.
And profiteroles, that's the pate choux sliced in half, right?
I believe so.
What is chantilly cream exactly?
I don't know.
Is it whipped cream with sugar, basically?
I think it's whipped cream with not as much sugar.
It makes me just think of
it's never really sweet.
Where's Alexa?
Because of chantilly lace?
Google it.
Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Chantilly lace.
So anytime I hear of the cream, I'm like, oh, like an Esther or a Gertrude.
I just think of that
song.
Do you
think it's like an older lady cream?
Yeah.
Like, with the chantilly lady with it. Oh. I don't even know how it goes. I just hear the word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my brain goes. But now it's going to go towards a giant hamburger with strawberries and strawberry
pink
cream.
Hamburger for dessert sounds awesome to me. But.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Carrying on here, Kristen Murray, chef at Marie's.
I was wondering if
you and she mentioned a dessert, of course, which we know are all amazing at Marie's, but she also said she's doing a rockfish that's seared in brown butter with conifer bud cream and a rouge fruit compote.
Oh.
So the strawberries
nice
in the rouge. Yeah, I know. Just the word she uses. And I'm like, so I want this. This is what I think I deserve this too.
Yeah. I did see a great recipe in The Art of Simple Cooking by Alice Waters. She has a winter fruit compote and a summer fruit compote. And it looks like this kind of master recipe that as you go through the season of berries, you can mix in like whatever is the prominent in-season berry. And then just on anything, really. And I'm excited to try that this summer.
Yeah.
I like recipes that are, like, open to switching out whatever you can find.
Yes.
Good
Not
one
me.
Should
be.
I switch terrible things.
Unless you decide to switch coconut milk.
Dirk can't handle that. He's like, you need to tell me exactly what to put in here.
Yeah.
Some of us like to follow rules.
Well, I mean, I once thought that by combining the intense flavor of tomatoes with like a robust red wine that I could make a spaghetti sauce out of ketchup and red wine, and that just ruined some pasta and I couldn't eat it. So,
it was probably like really bad wine too.
Oh, it was
time.
Like Gatto Negro,
probably.
Whoa, Gatto Negro, the wine of college. When you're too good for Boone's Farm.
But still only have $5.
Tying back to preserves, like you were saying, I spoke to Heather Anderson, who's an author and a food historian. She wrote Chilies, a Global History, and just now published Berries, a Global History.
Oh, cool.
She said that she really enjoys to make Slatko, which is an Eastern European preserve where you preserve fruit whole in a very thick syrup.
Oh.
Yeah.
How does she use it?
She didn't say. She just says she's into making it.
I know she makes a lot of, like, cakes and breads, so she probably puts it over the top so
you just,
that
like,
it
spin
soaks
the
up.
Fruit out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it
soaks up
the cake. Soaks
One thing up. I wanted to ask about that we didn't talk about, probably because we're talking about strawberries in summer and not March. I feel like for a very quick minute, we see green strawberries on menus in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Pickled?
Yeah, so I have a green strawberry story, which is that I did see a lot of them on menus in restaurants, and I tried to can them, like, thinking, oh, then chefs can have them throughout the year, you know? So they were terrible. They turned into these like brown blobs. Yep. So gross. So really those green strawberries only can be used in an application where they're quick pickled, not heated.
But what, I mean, the green berry, like, I mean, what is this bringing to the dish? Just acidity?
I think acidity, yeah. It really just soaks up that liquid. You still get the, you get like the flavor of a strawberry, but not the sweetness.
Interesting. What is a the flavor of a strawberry if not sweet?
It's like
strawberry.
Strawberry. Yeah. There's a, I don't know how to describe it. It just is like, well, you know how like a strawberry smells.
Yeah.
Like the it's like a combination of the leaves of the strawberry and okay. the fruit of the strawberry is how it just tastes on it.
So. A little more vegetal.
Yeah.
Whenever I see that on menus, I just think like, man, fallen soldier, like that could be a big red ripe berry if they had just left it alone.
I think it probably started to happen because there were so many green strawberries that nothing was,
yeah, you know, the first harvest is coming
yeah.
in.
Yeah, they're like, they planted them in a part that didn't get enough sun, and right. like whatever. So it's got a way to use something that would just get rotten right. on the plant.
Yeah, and then next, Justin Woodward, chef at Castagna and the new natural wine bar OK Omens, does a squab with strawberry,
squab,
foie gras juice, bay leaf flavored oil, and asparagus.
Wait, where was the strawberry?
So it's
on the squab.
With the squab, yeah. Oh, I believe it's raw. Like...
Oh.
Yeah, not the squab.
No.
Raw squab.
Yeah.
So that's at the natural wine bar?
Raw, yeah, raw yeah. Squab. OK Omens. Which we went the other night. It was awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it's really fun.
Fantastic. Nice. Very, very fun, like, wine food, I guess snacks, you would say.
Yeah.
And then cheap wine is great. And then last, because I have a photo that I'll post for the post of the podcast, Gregory Gordet at Departure is doing a shaved watermelon ice with strawberry syrup,
I saw that on his
candied
Instagram.
Strawberries, sweet and sour watermelon rind, cherries, amazake, and sea salt.
Sounds so good.
Yeah.
I really like the desserts that Gregory does because he doesn't use a lot of like sugar or dairy.
Right.
And so it's, I think I never really am excited to try desserts unless we're going to Departure because I know that they will appeal to me.
Right.
You know?
So back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, not bakers, any of us, not baking bloggers. I just don't, we don't make a lot of dessert at home, and so I'm never making strawberry shortcake or strawberry pan dowdy or any of these things because we just don't bake.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah. I think this is a cool
yeah.
application. I would go try that for sure.
Just a nice little cool bowl of
yeah.
summer.
Right.
I think it
yeah.
seems nice and refreshing and without being just like the jammy sugar bomb.
Yeah. And by having two different preparations of strawberry in there, you'd have like little flavor bombs every once in a while, like the candied strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's kind of nice.
Super good. Final topic. You pick strawberries, yay or nay?
No, thank you.
Yeah, we don't. We have like a little strawberry patch in the yard. The strawberries don't look as good as they do at the farmer's market. The farmers are definitely better strawberry growers than we are. But it is fun for Adeline to go out and pick them.
Right.
So I think it's a fun activity.
Right.
I think it's great for families that have a history of going and picking, where it's like, I had this memory and I'd like to pass that on to my kids and that kind of stuff. I think the You Pick berries are wonderful for that. But for me, it's like I'd rather leave it to the experts.
Yeah. I got romantic and nostalgic and thought yesterday, I'm like, let's go strawberry picking. And then I just bought some instead.
Yeah, I think it's a fun idea.
Right.
But then when you actually start doing it, you're like, oh, this is hard work.
It's very hard work. It is very hard work. Raspberry picking, more my style.
You know,
stand up.
Yeah.
As you go.
Blackberries.
Blueberry yeah. picking. If you go to those places, they give you a little
yeah.
pail to wear around your neck.
That
and
makes, yep.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's way more casual.
All right, so that's strawberries. That's our expert opinion on strawberries. Any final strawberry thoughts to add?
No, I don't think so. I think they should still be around the market for a couple weeks. Hoods are definitely gone, though.
But hoods are gone. But I think, we'll see more. At least for a few more weeks.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to preserve it, Jam it.
Eat it at restaurants.
Eat it at restaurants.
Not pick it yourself.
Yeah. Get it from the pros. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining me. And we will be back next week with a new episode and a new segment. Well, it's not a segment. It's just us talking more about cookbooks. Because we love them. And we decided we want to talk about them. So as always, feel free to send us your feedback at pdxfoodstories.com. And we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. That's a good sign-off.